This is the fifth of the unscripted series of podcasts designed for our Southwest audience and sponsored by our Empowered Connections People Initiative. Our topics continue to vary month to month, and today's focus is your personal brand. Build it, know it, be it. I am Assurance Senior Sharonda Lacey, your interviewer for the podcast, and today we welcome tax partner Ali Master, who is based in the Dallas office. Welcome, Ali.
Hi, Sharonda.
Perhaps to get us started, you can just tell us a bit about your professional journey.
Well, sure. I'm homegrown, so I started in the Southwest right here in 95, so it's going to be 20 years here next June, and started as an experienced staff in the Southwest, and then went to National in 1999, and have been part of National Tax right here in Dallas, and I've been a partner now going on, this is my 12th year.
And what did it mean for you to become partner?
Well, that's a great question. Short answer, it meant a lot. I was a foreign student, immigrant, only child. So making partner was a big deal to my family. You would go back to visit and they would always ask, when are you going to make partner? So your family, everybody knew you were a senior manager now. And so you would get these questions. It was funny. But I think the one way to analogize is, if you think about the big four firms as sports franchises and us as athletes, then it felt like you were finally drafted into the pros.
To go on and let's talk about you personally. Mm-hmm. Could you tell us a bit about your personal life, family, hobbies?
Sure. I've got a great family. Wife's Judy. We live in Rockwall. And I've got four kids. So Molly is 19 and Noah is 17. Emma is 14 and Isaac is 11.
Wow. Busy.
Yes, a very full household. I will not list the animals. There's a lot of them.
Okay. And or do you have any hobbies?
Sure. Love sports. Anything with a racket. So squash, badminton, table tennis, racquetball. And then, of course, I had to transition to American sports when I came here. But that's when I have time.
When you have time.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can jump into today's topic. Could you tell us what is a personal brand to you?
Personal brand to me would be really the first thoughts that come to mind or first feelings that come to mind that are evoked when someone reads your name or someone hears your name. It's really the first things they think about when they think about you. And so one way to think about it would be like a product, So if I say Lexus, you immediately think high quality and high service, So things, or you think Google, you think innovation. I think individuals, the same rule applies. Over time, people start associating things with your brand, with your reputation.
And do you think that it reflects you professionally only, or does it also reflect who you are personally?
That's another great question. So I think of a personal brand as a sort of a state of mind. And so it spills over from professional to work, from work to life very easily. There are certain things about your personal brand, say integrity, or executive presence, or leadership, that translate very easily into, your home life and your community life. So I think it spills over. So when I get home, I start to now work on managing my personal brand as a better dad or as a better husband. So it does affect you both personally and professionally.
And why is a personal brand important to staff and seniors?
Well, first of all, for staff and seniors, it's critical for them to realize that it's really not a partner level or senior manager level type activity to manage or build your personal brand. It starts pretty early. I can think back to experienced staff and starting to work on that personal brand. So it's critical because first thing they got to realize is that they have a personal brand that they're building, whether it's a good one like a Lexus or not so good one like a Yugo. It's a state of mind, and it's a moment-by-moment, interaction-by-interaction. Your building blocks are building this wall, and so it's really critical because in a review committee situation and a big opportunity comes about, like a big engagement, then your personal brand, and when people are sitting around thinking, okay, who should we deploy, and who should lead this, who should senior this, you know, then those personal brand impacts come into play to choose you and those things. So it's critical that they start early, and they should realize that it makes a huge difference in their career progression.
And I think you kind of alluded to this a little bit, but does your brand change as you become a manager, senior manager, or partner?
Does your brand change as you move up the organization? Yes. So, as I said, it starts early,
right.
But then it grows. And so, you know, you start off small. And so if you're an assurance senior here and you focus on, first of all, your strengths, you know, you always build your brand on things that you're passionate about. So it's really critical. So if you're really not into being very technical, and it's probably not a good idea to, you know, just spend hundreds of hours trying to shore up that weakness. You're better off focusing on your strengths as you build a personal brand. So it grows. I mean, start on us in a local market, and then you start to deliver on things, or you grow your niche, whatever it is, whether it's being technical, whether it's being really good at sales, whatever the issue is, maybe you're just really good at project management, your brand starts to spread that as you go to senior to manager. Now maybe the whole office knows about it, then the whole state knows about it, and then maybe the whole region knows about it, and eventually the whole firm starts to hear about your specific brand niche. Same thing with clients. You might start somewhere small, and you might just help a senior manager or partner with maybe a speaking opportunity, right? And then eventually you yourself start to speak on lunch and learns or various things, and then eventually you start doing that for the region and then the national. So it does grow. And then one more thing I would add is, you know, your brand changes over time, and you can also think about rebranding yourself. It is difficult to rebrand yourself, but it's doable. You can commit to it. But say you become branded for something on the negative side, and maybe you miss deadlines or you don't do high quality work, and then it becomes a negative brand. In that case, to rebrand yourself, you have to really work hard to erase that and start over. But so yeah, your brand grows, and it can change and evolve over time.
So, Ali, what are the top 2 to 3 things that staff and seniors can do to begin to build their brand right now?
Great question, and I think we've sort of been building on this. So first of all, you've got to figure out what the strengths are and what your passion is as a staff or senior, because you build your brand, again, around things that you're passionate about, that you have natural strengths in. So let me give you an example. You were in Southwest, you know, big oil and gas area. You know, it sort of builds on itself, your brand. So you may start off with maybe you're just really interested in that sector, that industry, right? And you start to do, maybe you work with a senior manager or a partner and go, you know, is there anything new going on in this sector that I can research? Or the Intacs, the tangible property regs just passed, and maybe you can go to the leader here and go, you know, I know there's a lot to be researched, but maybe I can just specifically focus on one area of this big law. And you start to build your niche. You know, you start, and so if it's an oil and gas area, what happens is you start to focus on one or two specific things in that sector. And then people hear about it, and they go, well, you know, Sharonda is really good at this particular area. Then you start to build a brand that, you know, we need to go to Sharonda on this one particular area. And before you know it, people like going in this firm to individuals that have had deeper expertise and heard a situation from different angles. Mm-hmm. And so you sort of build that. So as a staff and senior, I think it's never too late to volunteer for things and to learn a technical area or to help with a proposal, but focus on your strengths, and that's a good way to start building your brand. As a staff and senior, mm-hmm. Well, I think you make your brand, as I said, on a day-to-day basis. Every day you walk in, and it's an opportunity to enhance your brand or, you know, sometimes detract from your brand if you're really not focused and executing. And so you start by you make decisions on a daily basis. So if you decide to volunteer for something when you know that the senior manager is really stressed out about this particular thing, you've made a decision to advance your brand. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you miss the GT&E report, then you've chosen to, you know, maybe not plan better, and then you've detracted from your brand. So, I mean, your decisions are directly tied to your brand.
So is an emphasis on more verbal communication with the client rather than written communication, such as using email, a good way to build your brand?
I think in my mind, the answer is yes to that, and I tell you why. When you are doing, when you're interacting with a client verbally or doing verbal communication, now it's not one way anymore. Okay, now they are reacting back to you, and so it really, and you don't have your notes in your hand, so it really allows you to A, build a relationship with the client, show empathy to the client. Remember, communication, 75% of it's nonverbal anyway, and it really allows you to then interact with them on the issue, because they might go, well, what about this or what about that? So it's more challenging, for sure. It's not as safe, but I think that's how you build your brand. The other thing that happens when you verbally communicate with a client is you might have a partner or senior manager seeing you in action. You know, I have been in many, many review committee sessions, right, or roundtables as we used to call them. I've never had somebody say, well, Jody is awesome at writing emails. But I've heard a lot of people say, well, Jody was great at how she got this client calmed down or comfortable with an issue. You hear that a lot.
Right.
So I think verbal is a better, more challenging, but a better way to build your brand.
Okay. And how important is it to choose your attitude multiple times a day?
Well, that's a great question. I think attitude is everything. And you know, to quote Chuck Swindoll, the author, you know, it's attitude. You choose the attitude. It's essentially you control your attitude. You don't control your past. You don't control people. You don't control circumstances, but you can choose your attitude. And so I think it's 90% attitude is everything. It's 90% of it. Also, as we think about building your brand, most of the time, if you're building a great brand, you are doing things which require you to go above and beyond the expectations. And so the only way you go above and beyond expectations, you have to really make up your mind to go above and beyond them, and attitude is the fuel to that.
So, Ali, can a personal brand vary by person?
Well, absolutely it can, and I think our firm is full of different great branded people. And so think about it in terms of, you know, as you look at a high-performing team, you will have people that we think about on our team as you're building a team going, okay, someone that is just always known for being a great project manager and all their engagements, the margin is great on them, and, you know, they are executed on time, they're on time, they're under budget. So you've got excellent operational excellence out there. You also think about people that are really good at pursuits and how they support in front of clients in sales meetings and in pursuits, or how they support a proposal. We've got, you think about, you can brand yourself as someone being really sharp technically and not afraid to delve into the details of any kind of audit issue or a tax issue or technical issue. We think about well-branded people that are just really energetic and positive, and they're great with people. Mm-hmm. And so it takes, you know, all kinds of high performers to make this firm hum, and you can have many kinds of brands.
We heard your perspective on how to build other people's brands and what seniors and staff should do right now, but could you just give us some examples of what you did personally to build your brand?
Making your personal brand, you have to choose to do that. You have to know that you want to do that, because it takes hard work. I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to really build some new services in the firm that didn't exist before. And so that kind of put me in a more unique spot, that maybe I had a faster path to getting branded, because the people were not doing tax credits and incentives in 95.
Right.
So, A, I took a risk. Okay, I think that's probably something we haven't talked about. Personal brand and building it takes taking some risks, okay? If you're going to do everything like how everybody else does it, you're really not going to stick out. So personal brand's about being memorable and leaving an impression, so I chose to take some risks. I had an accounting degree, I had a CPA. I could have just gone the traditional route, but I really liked some entrepreneurial ideas, and I took some risks. I went to leadership in the Southwest and as a young staff and senior and go, I have some ideas. Could I pursue those? That's taking a risk. They could have said, I don't think so. You know, go back to doing compliance. So I took some risks. Second, I studied my tail off at night, studying, doing the traditional stuff, but then learning some new things in the tax code. And so that took a lot of diligence and hard work. And then I had a lot of great, great mentors. I solicited mentorship, people eventually, you know, then became a sponsor for me. You know, you have to earn the right to ask for a sponsor. So I was a good protege. Mm-hmm. All of that is wrapped up in your brand because people were willing to adopt me as a mentee and sponsor me because I had built a good brand and a good reputation.
If you could discuss how appearance plays a part in building your brand.
Yeah, you're kind of going to the executive presence
piece,
right, which, as you probably know, has three components to it. You've got communication, you've got gravitas, and then you've got appearance. I think on appearance, it's one of those categories of executive presence that it may not necessarily springboard you into success, but it can hold you back, okay? Mm-hmm. Think about it that way. So it's a baseline. You've got to dress the part. You need to, depending on your client, be very sensitive and probably a notch above. So when I think about my clients, you know, I always am a slightly above where, and I'm at the same level as, say, the CFO would be dressed. So I check into it. And I see a lot of times our staff and seniors, they may or may not always focus on it. And then, you know, that can sometimes make a difference. You know, you might, in both ways. I mean, sometimes a client, like in the West Coast, I go there and I have some clients and they expect you to be a little bit more casual. Similarly, if you might have a client that's just suit and tie. So doing some research and asking, you know, what's the appropriate is a good idea. So I think it's an important part of your executive presence for sure.
We're at the end of our time, and Ali, we would like to thank you so much for your time and insights. And for our listeners, if you have a topic for an upcoming podcast, please send your ideas to Assurance Senior Derek Burbank or Advisory Manager Michael Schultz.